Welcome back. It's a Wednesday hump day for a whole different reason than usual. The 20th day of December, 2023, arguably the first day of something very different than the United States that even has a pretense of honest elections anymore. I'm your host, Mark Call. Let's talk about some of the stories. Well, actually, one singular story that's getting a lot of press, and it should, because it is so important. I'm going to look first at the Daily Mail's headline. No, I'm not, even though it's at the top of my stack. I'm going to just tell you what the headline should have been everywhere. So let's try it again. First thing I'm going to do today, folks, is just simply summarize a bunch of headlines with your host's own particularly direct version. Colorado Supreme Court to peons. Screw you. And I'll add one other subheading here, Daily Mail style, and you're an idiot if you think that your vote matters any more than your First Amendment rights to freedom of assembly, or the ability to petition your government for a redress of grievances, or for crying out loud, you're completely gang-raped First Amendment right to free speech. Oh, yeah, and don't even think about using a firearm to defend your rights against a government that could care less whether you live or die, much less vote. Is that all clear enough? Well, if not, folks, the Supreme Court in Colorado, or what now passes for it, has removed any doubt whatsoever. Here's the Daily Mail's headline. Colorado Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump is disqualified from running for president and removed from the state's bogus ballot under the 14th Amendment because he, quote, engaged in an insurrection, unquote. Huh? Well, obviously there's an exception here. If you engage in insurrection and rig enough votes and get enough bought and paid for CCP payrolled senators, congress critters, and other scumbags in the fourth estate to say, hey, don't you dare criticize an election or say that there's anything here that isn't the most honest in American history, and besides which the Biden Fuhrer, even though he never came out of his basement, got 81 million of these duplicated ballots, well, you too have engaged in insurrection. You're a MAGA extremist and probably deserve of, well, exactly what they're now telling you, no holds barred, they intend to do. And don't even think about being able to go to the ballot box for a redress of grievances. Here's the money quote from this one. And yeah, folks, I'm going to just add one clarifying phrase here. In a 4-3 decision from the Democrat-appointed justices, Colorado's high court ruled that the ex-president and 2024 runaway favorite, now I think this is a clearer way to put it, and 2024 candidate who's literally blowing away both sides of the competition isn't eligible for the presidency. Why? Because they say so. And they weren't even elected. Isn't that convenient? Of course, for that matter, neither was the senile Fuhrer they're carrying water for. And ironically, they just came out and told us, what you vote for doesn't make a damn bit of difference. I know. If you've been paying attention, you knew this. We'll come back to that in just a minute here. But what this proclamation is now telling you is that they're not trying to hide it, and they don't give a damn whether you know it or not, because what are you going to be allowed to do about it? As usual, the Zero Hedge coverage is a bit more reliable. Their headline says Colorado Supreme Court disqualifies Trump from 2024 ballot, setting up a real Supreme Court challenge. Oh, yeah, that'll work just like it did in 2020. Colorado's highest court, it says, in a 4-3 ruling, which was left unsigned, they noted, interestingly, and whose 7-member bench was entirely appointed by communist governors, overturned a ruling from a lower Kangaroo District Court judge who found that Trump incited insurrection for his role in the January 6th attempt to redress grievances, but said he could not be barred from the ballot because it was unclear that the provision was intended to cover the presidency. And we all knew exactly, folks, what was going to follow. Here it is. So what do the real black robe priests of the Marxist gods say? Nah, that doesn't matter. The Constitution means whatever we say it means. Nothing more, nothing less. And it applies to whoever we want, and it doesn't apply to whomever we don't want it to. Isn't that clear? And just what are you going to be able to do about it now anyway? Now, here's what people are focused on. Will the Supreme Court, the real Supreme Court this time, now that it's, 4 years or so too late, finally turn around and say, hey, we've just seen too much of this. We're finally going to step in and say, you can't rig elections the way you're doing so blatantly that we can't even pretend not to see it or recognize what's going on? Or will they cop out again, just like we've gotten so used to? Oh, yeah, and like Pence and the Congress and most of America, especially the way stream media did the last time around and are still pushing for today. Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? Now, we've got more, folks, but I'm going to pause here and suggest it's already clear. I've already said it, what the intent is and what they intend to do from here on. It's not just to destroy faith in the U.S. election process. It's to make it blankety-blank and clear that there is no election. There wasn't an election in 2020 or 2022, and there blankety-blank and, well, isn't going to be one in 2024. One way or another, you can see what's going to happen, and you know just as certainly what is not going to happen. Your so-called votes aren't going to get counted. At least, certainly not as many times as those who are rigging the machines, making the copies and stuff in the ballot boxes are going to manage to do. And don't you dare say anything about it, or videotape it either. Which leads me to what I think the real agenda is here, beyond simply cementing a communist revolution in place that happened years ago now. It starts with smoking out those who have a will to resist. That's already been done. And they're in the gulag where the deep state believes they belong. Others have been silenced, and like Alex Jones, Donald Trump, and anybody else that dares to speak up has already proven, they're just getting started. They sent that message years ago. This is another slap in the face and a kick in the ribs to every single person who ever put their hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of these United States against all enemies, foreign, and now obviously and especially domestic. And what are they saying? I can't help but think it's more than obvious. Just try it. Resist. We double-dog dare you. You MAGA-loving, domestic, extremist, white supremacist scum, you. Yeah, vote all you want. See what that gets you. This is intended to push the country one more giant step towards Civil War 2.0. Is it? Will it be enough? I guess the intent certainly is. We'll see. And probably sooner at this point than later. Now, from here, there's a lot of places we could go and need to. But after careful consideration, I've decided we need to start here. When I saw this story this morning, folks, I couldn't help but hearken back to something that was called Colorado Amendment 2, which was approved by Colorado voters, imagine that, by a pretty significant margin back in 1992, and it prohibited what proponents called, correctly, special rights for gay, bisexual, and lesbian folks, because they're better than the rest of you, you know. That's what LGBTQIA++ pride is and has been about ever since. And now I guess we've seen at least a bit of where it leads. And if you don't remember, the text said that there would be an amendment to Article 2 of the Colorado Constitution to prohibit the state of Colorado and any of its political subdivisions from adopting or enforcing any law or policy which provides that homosexual, lesbian, or bisexual orientation, conduct, or relationships constitutes or entitles a person to claim any minority or protected status, quota preferences, or discrimination. And interestingly, folks, it passed overwhelmingly, particularly in the most rural areas and in every part of the state except the obvious communist strongholds, Boulder, Denver, and the leftist enclaves in the Hoi Polloi Mountain ski communities. And the key thing to remember here is that this was the people of Colorado, or so we're told, if they had the right to vote, amending their own Colorado state constitution. So what happened? Well, the case was called Romer versus Evans. Democrat Roy Romer was governor at the time, and you can guess the communist governor wasn't happy about his name on that side of the equation at the Supreme Court. A Colorado kangaroo court issued an injunction. The Colorado Supreme Kangaroo Court, even then, was pretty well bought and paid for. They agreed, and the case went to the Supreme Court in 1996. What? 4 full years later? Well, hey, they stopped anything from actually happening, so there was no hurry. We just have to make darn sure that when it does finally get to the Supreme Court, they do exactly what they are supposed to. And guess what? They did. So-called Justice Anthony Kennedy, who went on to be a major player whenever there was a similar need to overturn real constitutionally protected rights and replace them with prideful ones, and the rest of the leftist court ruled that the people of Colorado got no right to amend their own damned constitution. And to do so, to even attempt to do so, was, you know it, don't you, unconstitutional. How's that for take your vote and shove it? And guess what? It's been a quarter century since then, and it's only gotten worse. That time, they said, it violated the Equal Protection Clause of that same 14th Amendment. Some of us call it the Red Amendment. For reasons that I've elaborated at length on elsewhere, but we don't have time for today, suffice it to say, Article 1 of that amendment established a second-class citizenship, because you peons don't deserve the real benefits of what it means to be a free American to whom all the Bill of Rights actually still apply, because whether you know it or not, read Article 1 of that thing carefully, you are subject to the jurisdiction of something very much different than what we once had. The irony is, people have been lied to and taught that the purpose of the 14th Amendment was to make the Bill of Rights apply to the states. How's that for unmitigated bullshit? Ask yourself whether the First Amendment applies today, but don't even think about doing that anywhere close to the swamp. Whether the Second Amendment applies today. Whether the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizures. All right, well, you get the picture. Whether any of that Constitution thing outside of that magical 14th Amendment has any relevance whatsoever in the circus courts. And if you don't like it, and if you think your vote is going to make a damn bit of difference, well, as we've seen, we're going to disarm you first, silence you second, and then we've got a gulag for you. Yeah, you just go ahead and vote away. And see if you can outvote those justices who weren't elected anyway. Ha ha! From there we turn to a leftist constitutional scholar that, for the most part, I actually do respect. That would be legal scholar Jonathan Turley, who was quoted in the Daily Mail on this latest abomination, this time in Colorado, but don't think for a second it doesn't represent exactly what they intend to do nationwide, and indeed have already accomplished. He slammed the Colorado Kangaroo Court for its ruling that removed former President Donald Trump from the state's 2024 ballot and said, quote, well, this court just handed partisans on both sides the ultimate tool to try to shortcut elections, which is absolutely true, folks, and it's very, very dangerous, unquote, which is even more true, he told Fox News just moments after the abomination called the decision, quote, and listen to this carefully. I mean, he said, this country is a real powder keg, and this court is just throwing matches at it. And I think that it's a real mistake. But he added, I think they're very wrong on the law. Which, of course, is exactly how these things always work, folks. If you want to light off a powder keg, it's best to be wrong on the law so that you can really piss the people off that you intend to incite to violence. I can't help but hearken back to a famous quote, at least among those who actually understand history, from President of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, who said the following, and this was after the war to prevent Southern independence, of course, quote, a question settled by violence or in disregard of law must remain unsettled forever, unquote, and if you're public cesspool educated, you probably don't even understand what he's talking about. Back to Professor Turley, who spoke with Fox News' Laura Ingraham, and said he disagrees with the court's premise concerning the so-called insurrection of January the 6th. In my view, he said it wasn't an insurrection. It was a fedsurrection, folks, but he doesn't quite get that. Still, though, he said it was a riot. And he said, therefore, that this ruling against Trump goes a step too far. Quote, that doesn't mean that the people responsible for that day shouldn't be held accountable, but to call this an insurrection for the purposes of disqualification would create a slippery slope for every state in the union. And he went on to say that this is, well, and I would say intended to, folks. It gets in the way of free and fair elections just ahead of the start of primary season. Duh. And remember, I pointed out that this guy is very much left-leaning, and I honestly think he knows better than this next statement. I believe he knows what form of government we're actually supposed to have, and that it's a constitutional republic, not a democracy. So at least maybe we should take this with a grain of salt, but the point is clear. Quote, this is a time, said Turley, when we actually need democracy. We need to allow the voters to vote. We need to hear their decision. And the court here just said, you're not going to get that in Colorado. We're not going to let you vote for Donald Trump. And he added, you know, you can dislike Trump. You can believe he's responsible for January 6th. But this isn't the way to do it. I mean, it is, you know, for the people to say they're going to protect democracy. This is hands down the most anti-democratic opinion I've ever seen in my life, unquote. And as most of the coverage out there, folks, eventually gets around to reporting, even the most leftist part of the waste stream, although they cackle about it, this is the first time in the history of these once free United States that the so-called insurrection clause in the 14th Amendment has ever been used to disqualify a presidential candidate. And isn't it ironic? The 25th Amendment was supposed to be able to do that when somebody is, say, obviously incompetent or senile or a traitor. But, you're not hearing much about that from these same people, are you? That, too, speaks volumes. But don't think you're going to be able to vote about it. Before we move on to the other attacks on what's left of the Republic today, I do think it's appropriate to quote two statesmen from times past who were at least once claimed by the Democrats before they went completely over-the-top communist, and both of whom today, by the way, I'm sure would reject any affiliation or connection whatsoever with these scumbags that are attempting to destroy what they worked to build. And I kind of believe these quotes buttress that point. We'll start with President John F. Kennedy, who, as you probably know, was assassinated. Now, there's a better term we now know. was executed by the deep state and those that carried its water, that kicked off a lot of what we're seeing come to fruition today. And it's been covered up for 60 years at this point. JFK said this, "Those who would make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable." That certainly seems apropos. And then, of course, there's Thomas Jefferson. You've probably heard this one. "Don't you dare quote it on socialist media. They'll ban you. And the Gestapo may come and bust down your door, too." And what country, he said, can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The tree of liberty, said Thomas Jefferson, must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. The tyrants are pushing hard for it. And I'd better add, don't be fooled, don't fall for it either. So where does that leave us? We know they want you dead. They let Fauci get away with the greatest attempted mass murder and genocide program arguably in human history. They worldwide killed far more people than Adolf and the Nazis, the first generation anyway, the Third Reich as opposed to the Fourth, ever dreamed of. It was a two-part attack. The first part they lied about, that was the bioweapon out of Wuhan and courtesy of places like the Ukraine and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But ultimately, it all ends up in the same place, the mRNA-based part two of the bioweapon being injected into as many people as they can possibly get away with. They lied about it being safe and effective. Oh no, it was deadly and they damn well knew it. So they tried to cover that up for 75 years. When they couldn't, they went ahead with the next part of the plan anyway. You'll see that real soon, but it amounts to booga, 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 something, disease X is coming, and it's going to make you forget how badly we lied to you the first time around, but you're going to be afraid, be really afraid this time. And if we don't tell you what the next lockdown and Zyklon B injection and mask mandate and all the stuff that worked so well for us that first time around, well, just wait. We intend to starve you to death, too. After we take away your guns, of course, first, your livelihood, and then your energy. Oh, yeah, don't forget your land, too, because that invasion's already well underway. Have we left anything out? Sure, it's only a half-hour show, but this one is something that, while I've talked about it before, we don't want to forget, especially if you haven't yet realized you need to be out of the leftist-run hellhole cesspool cities. This comes from the Burning Platform via State of the Nation and hopefully other places about the 5G kill grid, as they're calling it, and the deployment of 5G, the piece begins, continues unabated across the once-free United States in spite of zero mandatory health and safety testing. Hey, they don't need that. Especially if you already know the answer, having ever been conducted. The illegal rollout is focusing on the largest urban centers. Where else? That's where the people are most dumbed down. And just as important, largely already disarmed, except for the Gestapo and criminals, but maybe I repeat myself, and therefore unable to fight back and least likely to anyway. So, they're focusing on the leftist urban centers for the rollout, and especially, says the piece, high-profile venues that can be used as an advertisement for how awesome 5G is, especially if your only goal in life is to sit around and play video games and watch stupid TV shows and indoctrination programs. So what you need to be aware of is why these same venues, says State of the Nation, are intended to be turned into extremely dangerous 5G super hotspots. But they suggest, and this at least gets to part of the truth, folks, the reason for this eventuality is because the level of 5G technology necessary for the Internet of Things to be brought to fruition is completely off the chart. True, it's no small feat to power up the IoT to the point that it functions at the impractically high standards set by the IT, Wi-Fi, and telecom industries, because while the IoT allows for advances in technology to give us things like Crestron automation systems in our homes, whether you want it or not, the wider applications of 5G could and certainly are intended to be very dangerous for people and other living things. The IT scientists and electrical engineers who've designed these slowly evolving 5G networks know that they won't work and network as engineered, and that's because of the unique environmental obstacles that exist in every locale where 5G is planned. The many and diverse technological obstacles, says the story here, are such that the one-size-fits-all approach simply will not work. And what this inevitable predicament translates to is that every locale will require its own customized 5G network configuration. And that means that wherever the 5G hucksters choose to showcase their 5G and Internet of Things, those locales and venues will need to be transformed into highly radioactive 5G super hotspots. And I guess I need to make this point more than once. Don't go into them. Don't allow them to happen wherever you are or your children are or wherever you might intend to be. And that means especially, for crying out loud, stay clear of the 15-minute cities, because those will certainly be the first demonstration gulags. But here's the critical point, says the piece. In its current form, 5G networks simply won't perform as falsely advertised. Therefore, big telecom will end up with egg all over their face unless they try to keep their promises, or at least appear to keep them. The only practical way for these companies to save face is to fire up the 5G energy grid with a vengeance wherever it's deployed. They know that user experience is crucial at the start of the rollout. If people don't get the speed fix they've been jonesing for, it'll be considered the biggest failure in corporate history. So given the rapidly evolving context, says the piece, it's clear that strategically creating these 5G super hotspots is their only way out of their self-created advertised mess, at least temporarily. It's important to note that in order to deliver the necessary 5G energy to power up the IoT globally, the telecoms will have to transform the world into a veritable microwave oven interspersed by myriad EMF transmitters and receivers. And while that's a very simplistic depiction, it's really not far from the truth. However, they say, it's those geographic areas that have been purposefully selected to illustrate the fake miracle of 5G and IoT that have the very most to be very, very concerned about. There's no stopping the selected venues from being morphed into 5G super hotspots for the show. So it's essential that folks everywhere know the places they'd better strictly avoid. They will, in fact, become slow-motion kill zones by design. And they continue, while constructing these kill zones may not be the primary purpose of the ongoing military deployment of 5G, they're an unavoidable consequence, because totally untested technology with such raw power is an extremely perilous enterprise. The one thing that they know about it, folks, study the military and their active denial systems, they know what wavelengths are best able to cause people incredible, unbelievable pain that they will literally do anything to escape from when they want them to. And I don't doubt that they have a lot more information on the health risks than they're ever going to allow you to see. Yeah, you gotta ask, doesn't that sound familiar? Those who are prematurely pushing the 5G paradigm, back to the story, are cognizant of these extreme health risks and dangers and the devastating impacts on the environment, yet not only are they proceeding anyway, that seems to be a big part of the unstated goal here. The uninformed public then must be made aware of the location of each and every kill zone, aka 5G super hotspot in the country, because not to do so, and this of course resonates, doesn't it, would be similar to the Nazi experiments performed on humans during World War II. Most recently, we all saw them in the early 2020s, when so many died slow and painful deaths. Many of them are still in progress. The most dangerous kill zones will be those located in the cesspool cities, and you can probably already guess the names, that have already seen the deployment of the full 5G rollout. Verizon, fixed and mobile 5G sites all over the U.S., AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, U.S. Cellular, others. Starry is available in places like Boston, Denver, L.A., New York, the criminal swamp in Columbus, Ohio, and so on. There are additional links at that State of the Nation site, which is also linked, of course, as I've already mentioned, through the Burning platform. And the key here, folks, is to pay attention. Understand that the one place, again, you do not want to be is at the demo sites that they're going to be pushing and literally advertising for you. But the same thing goes for all of these cesspool cities. I guess the bottom line would be any place that you already know you don't want to be because it's a crime-centered, gun-free killing zone is also a place that you don't want to be for 5G. But the important thing that strikes me as your host, who's in a very much off-grid, very rural area, is you need to be in a place where when they try to put these things up near you, you will see them, know about them, and be able to stop them. And understand, they intend to kill you. So I think it's best to think about, pray about in advance, what you will do, what your neighbors will do, to prevent anything that will irradiate you through your walls, and whether you like it or not, literally bathe you and your children in something that's intended to kill you. So I'll say it again. What will you do? What will you do when the time comes to say, hey, if they intend to kill me, I intend to say no in any way that I possibly am still allowed to. Oh, yeah, one last reminder. You're not going to be able to vote against them, and you already knew that, didn't you? So thanks for being with us, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.